two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Religion Today with Martin Tanner, a weekly look at religion and spirituality here at home and around the world. Now, here's your host, Martin Tanner.
Welcome. This is Religion Today. I'm your host, Martin Tanner. One of the most fascinating books I have ever read is a book that's 22 years old now. It's still available if you'd like to get it. It's called The Jewish Messiahs by Harris Lenowitz, a fabulous scholar, professor at the University of Utah at the time that I interviewed him about this book. In his book, he has information about all of the known Jewish messiahs. And they range from those who are tragic, those who are inspiring, those who are unusual, kind of off the beaten path. It's a fascinating list. And of course, amongst those is Jesus. And so, because Jews do not see Jesus as the Messiah, they see him as a Messiah claimed, but who is not legitimate or real, and somebody who was kind of a heretic, I guess might be a way to describe him. Now, why is that important? Why would I bring that up at the beginning of this show? Today, the subject is understanding Jesus and some of his comments and quotes and actions better based on seeing him through the Jewish culture and religion. As Christians, Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Son of God. He is the Savior of mankind. Because we don't see him as Jewish necessarily, or at least focus on that, we misunderstand much of what he did, or maybe failed to realize it, I guess would be the best way to say it. Years ago, I remember speaking to a Catholic priest who, during the course of our conversation about Christianity, talked about Jesus as the first Catholic. And I thought, if I were Catholic, I guess that would be my point of view. That makes complete sense. Years later, I was speaking to a rabbi, and he made, during the course of our comments, of course Jewish people would see Jesus as Jewish. After all, he was a rabbi. And he is mentioned as filling that position in the New Testament. So in what sense was Jesus Jewish? In what sense was he a Catholic? In what sense was he a Christian? And I'm sure if I were to ask some of my Latter-day Saint friends, is Jesus a Mormon? Is he a Latter-day Saint? Is he a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints? They might think about it and then say, yes. I mean, all who think of Jesus as their Lord and Savior in the Christian traditions would see Jesus as part of their faith. After all, they would not be part of a faith that was not Jesus' faith. So what are the implications of that, and what would I like to share that I think would be of great interest in that regard? Let me bring up a question for you, which I will not answer right now. I'll answer a little bit later. Gospel of John, chapter 20, verse 17, has this comment. Jesus has just been resurrected, and Mary sees him and finally realizes who he is. And she's going to go up and give him a hug. I know it doesn't quite say that in the King James, but trust me, that's what's going on. She's going to go up and give him a hug. And Jesus says in the King James, "Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go and tell everybody that I'm ascending to my Father, your Father, to my God, and your God." What Jesus is saying is, don't hug me. I haven't gone to heaven yet. I haven't seen my Father. And then just 10 verses later, in the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verse 27, Jesus is telling Thomas, "Oh, you're skeptical here? In essence, stick your fingers into the wound in my side." It isn't just touch it. It's thrust your fingers into my side. And don't be faithless, but be believing. So why would it not be okay for Mary to hug Jesus before he goes to heaven, but after he's gone to heaven and come back, why is it okay for Thomas to stick his fingers in Jesus' wound? What's the difference there? The Jewish faith answers that. We'll get back to that. Ask yourself that question. Jesus was born Jewish. By the time he was executed by the Romans, put on the cross, many Jewish people would have considered him Jewish, but guilty of blasphemy because of certain things that he had said and done. At least since the 6th century before Christ, there was part of Judaism, this monotheistic belief in one God. And because of that, some of Jesus' comments were seen as blasphemous. Many people might hear, "Oh, the Jews thought Jesus was committing blasphemy," but they don't really understand why. After all, he was teaching wonderful things. Why would he be considered a heretic? Well, take, for example, some of these gospel incidents. Jesus cures a man who's paralyzed when he's lowered through the roof, Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. And he says, "Your sins are forgiven." There's a similar passage in Matthew 9, verses 1 through 8, and Luke chapter 5, starting at verse 18. It says in the Mark account, quote, "Now some of the scribes were sitting there asking themselves, 'Why does this man speak this way? Who but God alone can forgive sins?' Jesus immediately knew in his mind what they were thinking to themselves. So he said, 'Why are you thinking such things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to this paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or to say, stand up, pick up your mat, pick up your bedroll, and walk? But so you can know that the Son of Man has authority for sins on earth,' he said to the paralytic, the paralyzed man, quote, 'I say to you, rise, pick up your mat, and go home.'" Close quote. After Caiaphas the high priest commanded Jesus, "I order you to tell us under oath before the living God whether you are the Messiah, the Son of God." Jesus responds, quote, "You have said so, but I tell you from now on you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power," meaning the Father, "and coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his robes and said, "He has blasphemed. What further need have we of witnesses? You, members of the Sanhedrin, have now heard the blasphemy. What is your opinion?" And they said in reply, "He deserves to die." Close quote. There's a similar passage to this in Mark chapter 14, starting in verse 61, but I was doing a loose quote from Matthew chapter 26, starting in verse 63. In the Gospels, Jesus is presented as essentially a heretic of the Jewish faith, because he claims the ability to forgive sins and then infers that he is the promised Messiah, the Son of God, the Son of Man, who will be seen seated on the right hand of power or of God. These were not minor little incidents. And when we come back, we'll talk a bit more about them and their implications for our understanding of Jesus within Judaism. Stay tuned. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today.
Religion Today with Martin Tanner continues on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
We're back. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today. If you have a question or comment about this program or any other program, or if you have just a general religious question, feel free to send me an email. Send it to martinstanner@gmail.com, and I will be happy to respond. Today, our topic is essentially understanding Jesus a bit better by understanding his Jewish background, the Jewish context into which he was born. When we took our break, the point we had reached was about how, because he was willing to forgive sins, as we read about when he healed the paralyzed man in Mark chapter 2, and about how he inferred that he was the Son of God and would be seated on the right hand of God, as we read in Matthew chapter 26, beginning at verse 61, that he was considered blasphemous and a heretic. In the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Pilate questions Jesus about how he called himself the King of the Jews. And that scene is given in more detail in the Gospel of John. Pilate says, quote, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Close quote. And that scene's given in a lot more detail if we read on a little bit further. Pilate says to the crowd, "Take him yourselves, crucify him. I find no guilt in him." But then the Jews answered, "We have a law." And this is my focus here. There's a law. "We have a law, and according to that law, he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." Take a look at chapter 19, starting in verse 6. So Pilate orders that Jesus be crucified for treason and for not for rejecting the title, the King of the Jews. So what is the point of all this? Not all Jewish people at the time saw Jesus as a heretic. Certainly his mother Mary and the apostles didn't, for example. They believed he was the promised Messiah. So to say that Jesus died Jewish is a little bit simple, and yet he saw himself certainly as a Jewish reformer. That's an important point. He was changing Judaism. He was reforming it. So was he a Jew in a sense, but he reformed Judaism? That's a little bit like saying, are Latter-day Saints Christians? Well, they certainly think so. The rest of Christianity doesn't. They see themselves as reforming Christianity, not traditional Christians. There's an analogy to be made there about apparently Jesus' self-image or his self-concept about where they fit within this new Christian religion and within Judaism. One of the other points that I wanted to make here about Jesus and his self-concept and the concept that the followers of Jesus had is they did not call themselves Christians. They called themselves followers of the way, meaning the way that Jesus taught, which they probably saw as the correct path of Judaism, which is why there was a dispute at one point in time between Peter and Paul about whether or not new non-Jewish converts would have to be circumcised and follow some of the other Jewish laws. These are concepts that were very Jewish that were still being followed within this new Christian religion. Now, before the time escapes us, let's jump back to this whole question about Jesus just being resurrected in the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verse 17. Mary wants to go up and give Jesus a hug, and Jesus tells her, "Don't hug me, don't touch me. I'm not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and tell them I ascend to my Father, to your Father, to my God, and to your God." And yet, 10 verses later, in the Gospel of John, Jesus is willing to say, not just touch me, but Thomas, you don't believe. Oh, really? Well, stick your finger into the wound in my side and be believing. Why the difference there? The answer is the Jewish laws of ritual cleanliness. It was not proper for a high priest, which Jesus was. It would not have been proper for a rabbi, which Jesus was, to touch anything that would have been unclean before doing something that was part of their official duties. In this case, Jesus as the Savior, the Son of God, a priest, a rabbi, he had been resurrected and he was under command to ascend to his Father. This was an official act. He could not touch something or somebody that was unclean. He could not have, for example, gone out and had a meal. He could not have touched any person. He had to stay pure and clean before he went to see his Father in this official act as high priest, as Savior of the world, and as a rabbi. That's the reason why he said to Mary, "Don't hug me, don't touch me. I haven't yet gone to my Father. I haven't done this official act." But after he came back, after he was done with ascending to heaven and doing whatever happened there, reporting to his Father, what he had done, or who knows, we don't have details about that. But after that action was completed and he came back, he was no longer under the requirement of being ritually clean. And so he could have hugged Mary, and he probably did. He could have said to Thomas, "Stick your finger into my side," and Thomas did. And he could have sat down for a meal, and he did, as we also read in the Gospels. And so it's sometimes this Jewish law that underlies some of the actions that Jesus gives to us, or that rather are written in the Gospels, that are hard for us sometimes to understand, that can be made understandable by understanding the Jewish faith a little bit better. Understanding the Jewish faith helps us understand why someone who was not God would be considered a heretic if they tried to forgive sins in their eyes, and why if someone implied that they were going to be sitting on the right hand of the Father, that would also be heretical. And it also helps us explain a number of circumstances. There are dozens of these kinds of events that we read in the New Testament that if you have a little bit of a Jewish background, it will help you understand them. the Jewish faith struggles with what is Jewish and what is Christian for quite some time. The book of Acts is filled with those. What do we still need to eat? Do we still follow the laws of ritual cleanliness? Do we still have to be circumcised? What Jewish laws are required to be fulfilled and what aren't? Those were things that had yet to be worked out, and they were very important. One of my favorite books was written by Princeton Theological Seminary professors called Jesus Within Judaism. It's similar to the Jewish Messiahs book that I mentioned that helps one to understand the context in which Jesus and the apostles taught. Join me again next week. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today on KSL News Radio 1160.